Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Welcome back to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. I'm your host today, Beatrice, at @Bookie_Beatrice. And I'm here with...
Ella, at LCLs.
Lauren, at Lauren Coys.
Mariam, at @IamMariam_.
Tima, at @Teams_GH.
Tima, I'm going to start with you.
That was quick.
At the London Stadium, where Chelsea lost 2-0.
You mean the Tottenham
Stadium?
Stadium, which is sorry. Still nameless.
I don't even know why that's your stadium name. But anyway, at Tottenham Stadium, where you lost 2-0, tell us your thoughts. I'm just going to give you the floor. Just express your emotions.
So you know what? you guys won't know, but like behind the scenes, we've been asked to give reaction videos to when things happen. My thing is I can't do it because I literally have a mental breakdown on screen, and I don't think that's very fair. So I've been waiting to be on the rota, to come on the pod, to express myself, and hoping that Graham James Potter would have done something.
Not the middle name.
I think it's his name.
I don't even know.
Or Stephen. One of those names would have like fixed himself, but unfortunately not. I said a couple of months ago on the pod that someone called Graham cannot take us to the promised land, and I wanted him out. I said he hasn't improved anything. Everything was worse. You remember that you was here. And under that video, people were saying that Chelsea fans are entitled, we're spoiled, we have no patience.
Wait, can I just interject? I don't think those things are not true. They are true.
You might not be spoiled.
Wow. We're not spoiled, we're not entitled, but we have standards. Like, we have, and I'm not going to lower my standards for Mr. Potter because he's shit. Like, I'm not going to lower myself. I expect Chelsea to be competing. Like, being 11th or 10th is not where I expect us to be. 2 wins in 18 games or how many games is not where I expect us to be. My problem with Potter is that he's never tried to, like, build anything with Chelsea fans. In fact, he's actually gaslighting us to make us feel like it's not his fault. Like, you've been in charge since September. Whose fault is it?
This guy was talking. How do you know? Today, he came out and said...
I couldn't give a shit what he said today. It's too late. It's actually too late.
Let me just read it out. He said, I know the responsibility. It's not good enough for this club. And so I take full responsibility for those results. It isn't good enough for Chelsea. The players gave it everything. They are hurting. This is my problem.
But he didn't say that it's not good enough for me.
This is my problem. When he says the players gave it everything, shut the fuck up, bruh. What are you talking about? He says this every single fucking week. And they're out here giving absolute pile of shit. Because he doesn't, like, tactically inept. Our attack... I remember, I'll continue to say this. Bree told me that the problem of our attack was Lukaku. I told her it is not Lukaku. Lukaku has gone to Italy munching his pasta, and we're even worse. Like, we create nothing. There's no pattern of play. Like, our midfield is non-existent. And my friend, we all know Ziyech wanted to leave the club. He was 30 seconds away from being at PSG. Why the hell is he getting minutes? And a lot of minutes. He came on the pitch today. Where was he? I forgot he was on the pitch until he almost got sent off. Graham Potter also...
Take a breather.
This is like 2 months. I haven't been on the pod for so long that I've got to get this. I just got to get off my chest. Graham Potter and the English sports journalists are gaslighting us to make him stay, like as if like he's got all of these problems. At top clubs, you're not going to have perfect conditions. You're going to have injuries. You're going to have lots of signings. You're not going to have always going to have a really good pre-season. But top managers make it work. I'm going to go back to Thomas Tuchel. Thomas Tuchel came in halfway through a season and won the Champions League. There was patterns of play. It was very obvious his style with the first game. He had less than 24 hours with the team, like a 2-hour training session. Graham Potter, after losing to the 20th team in the league, who didn't have a manager, who he said were well organised. They don't have a manager, bruh. Like, how can they be well organised? He's like, do you know what he did? He gave the players 3 days off.
I was so confused at that. Off. Who does that?
Yeah. These players were in Westfield shopping. They were probably abroad seeing their families. We're 10th. We're 14 points off and you give them 3 days off. And then you got, this is why when he says it is his fault.
Wait, come again. 14 points off where?
14 points off fourth.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant talking about
it. Oh. I was about to say, because it's a lot more.
So he gives them 3 days off. So and he comes out and says it's his fault for once. Because he's talking about cost of living crisis. That's what he was talking about during the week. Cost of living crisis. Mental health of this, mental health of that. One thing I will say though, like let's get it straight. People who are sending him death threats or his family death threats need to like really take a good hard look at themselves because it's never that deep. And actually, like, yeah, you should never involve people's families. And I feel like in society anyway, we just don't value life. Like life like is a gift. So to try and take that gift from somebody is disgusting, or even call for that to be taken is disgusting. However, like, Graham Potter should be criticised, and yes, I would say it is 70% his fault, 30% of the ownership. They need to swallow their pride, swallow their ego, and sack the man. Because I don't know one Chelsea fan. Actually, no, I do. My brother. My brother hasn't... He's not speaking to me the whole day, you know. The way I've been messaging this guy, and he's avoiding me, because he knows that I'm right. I've been calling for Potter to go ever since, I think, AC Milan, when we won. I was like, he's not good enough. I knew it. You can just know.
Can I just challenge a point you made there about 70% Potter, 30% the owners? What about the players? You just called out Ziyech.
No, because...
You just called out Ziyech.
Yeah, Ziyech shouldn't be anywhere near the team, but it's not his fault. Let me tell you why. Chelsea fans who wanted Tuchel out were trying to convince other Chelsea fans that this team is bad, that this team is this bad. These players are not 10th bad. Mm. They're not 10th bad. But you can see, even in new signings, like, when they first come to the club, they're balling. After two training sessions with Potter, it's like they don't know how to play football anymore. Look at Modric. Modric was so good against Liverpool when he came in. Now, he doesn't even know, like, what he's doing. He looks like Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys. Like, what is going on here, man?
He's also come out to say that he isn't happy at Chelsea.
I wouldn't be either if I had to turn around and
already?
See...
Yeah.
If I saw Graham Potter and his assistants, would you be happy? They look like... Honestly, they look like car salesman and the head of PE. He speaks like a teacher. He doesn't speak like... He looks like he's doing his secondary school team in year 11, sending them off to the county cup. He doesn't speak like he's a Chelsea manager, and he's trying to gaslight me to think, he's not that person. Like, listen, you have to build a rapport with the fans. If you don't build a rapport at Chelsea Football Club, look what happened to Sarri. Look what happened to Benitez. It's not going to end well, brother. It is not going to end well.
Even if you do well, if you don't have that connection with the fans. Yeah.
And there is nothing for me to hold on to. Like, there's no hope. There is nothing for me to be like, yeah, at least I can see this player's improved, that player's improved. It's so bad. Reece James is looking like Trent Alexander-Arnold. Can you imagine?
Ella. Wow. Ella, are you going to take that?
You know what?
It's so bad.
I could come back, but Trent has been poor.
It's so bad. Not one player. Only Thiago Silva has any decency. And that's because he's one of the best centre-backs the game has ever seen. If he wasn't that good, he would also look like a mid-table player.
I also think I saw comments where Potter said that look at Arteta. He started off, you know, quite poorly. You saw an all or nothing. however he's turned things around. So I think he was trying to say, give it some time, I can turn it around.
Yeah, I don't think it was Arsenal.
But they wanted Arteta out that bad. Do you know what I mean?
So what you're trying to say to me is that he's looked at a reality TV show and has said, he said to himself, yeah, this is where, because he said something like they wanted to watch All or Nothing. Listen, you should be on that pitch, on that training pitch, doing tactical analysis, not talking about All or Nothing. The difference is Arteta was at a top club, even as assistant, came from a top club, went to Arsenal, as you say, they weren't that bad. Like, they were, I think there was like...
No, they were bad. Let's not play it down.
They were like three weeks, they were 16th, and then they finished 8th. We're not even going to finish 8th. We're not going to finish in the top half of the table. He cannot compare himself to Arteta, Klopp, or Pep, because all of them have either been at top clubs before they came and had proven track records. You are nowhere near those levels. Nowhere near. I actually think he's one of the worst managers in the Premier League currently.
Relegation zone, so
some of them don't have managers, right? Okay, so fair enough. But I think he's one of the worst.
I don't think he's one of the worst. He's at the wrong club.
Yeah, I don't think we can say he's one of the worst, because when he was at Brighton, we said he was a good manager. Exactly. So
I think he's just one of the worst.
He's out of his on form.
He's just not suited to Chelsea.
He's not suited for the top level. Yeah. Like, you can see that he can't handle it. He can't handle criticism. He can't handle it mentally. He can't handle the pressure.
And it is a lot of pressure. Let's be fair. It is a lot of pressure.
All of these excuses. I'm not going to put myself in those shoes. I know where my level is at. But I can tell you right now, I would do a better job than him.
I mean, we're not coaches for a reason. Like, we're not coaches. It's probably a really hard job.
To beat Chelsea is not hard. It's like apply slight pressure. Just keep on slight pressure and something will happen. They will fold. It's not hard. I remember last season, Frank Lampard, his last game, James Maddison said they didn't have to prepare that much to beat Chelsea. They beat us 2-0. Do you think they even are even watching video clips of Chelsea? They're probably just like, listen, go out and remember what we said last week. Yeah, just kind of do that and then you'll be good. Because you can't tell me, like, I've watched us. We are not hard to beat. Everyone in this room, let's get together and go and play that Chelsea team. I'm telling you.
We'll win 2-0.
Have me and go. We'll win 2-0.
Right, let's hear from Lauren on Tottenham's perspective.
I'm happy because, honestly, the last time we beat Chelsea in the league, I was doing my undergraduates at uni. It has been a number of years. And even, Timo, everything that you've just said, form, everything, I still don't have confidence going into this game because we always become your team to get form. Regardless, there's an inferiority complex that the Spurs players have shown in this fixture my whole life. But yeah, we just got the job done at the end of the day. I agree, you were not difficult to beat.
I don't think Spurs were that good.
I don't think we were that good, but we haven't been playing at the level that we know that we can get to, but we didn't really make any mistakes. And obviously...
Even if you made mistakes, you still would have won. Who is going to put the ball at the back of the net for Chelsea? You could have made mistakes and you still would have won that game.
Okay, fair enough. But equally, I know if having a player like Eric Dier or Longley or Fraser Forster in your goal, you're still or even Oliver Skipp in midfield. He's a young player. You know that your team can be vulnerable, regardless of who you're playing. That there are vulnerabilities in your team. So I'm still going into the match thinking, okay, if we don't play very well or we make too many mistakes, we could be in trouble, because we have been in trouble at times this season. But yeah, I think we held it down. We were solid defensively. Chelsea didn't really create anything. And then when we needed, you know, obviously it's a great strike by Skip, but it's a mistake. I don't know what Enzo thought he was doing, taking the ball away from Kepa. But, you know, great finish, academy player, first goal, big London derby, happy for him. and that corner routine that we have with Kane, the near post flick on and Kane's at the back post. We scored so many goals this season. We scored that goal at Stamford Bridge as well. So yeah, clean sheet, happy. At this point, we just need to keep ticking over and be in the hunt for top four. But going into this game, because we're so bad in this fixture, I'm thinking, well, if you lot are serious, and the Spurs players keep telling me how this derby means more to them than the North London derby, act like it. And I actually think that they turn up, they were aggressive. And yeah, we just
got the job
done. I wouldn't say they were aggressive. I would say they got the job done. I wouldn't say... I think a better team gets a result. I wouldn't say
what did we get?
Yeah.
No, I mean a better Chelsea, like an opposition. Oh, better okay. Chelsea team gets a result. I wouldn't say I was overly impressed with Tottenham. I think that they are very vulnerable. But I think it just shows the depths of Chelsea and just how bad we are.
I think we are vulnerable. I mean, Bentancur is gone for the rest of the season. Bissouma, we don't know if we'll see him. We have three central midfielders, two of them are teenagers. Like I said, we have Eric Dier in the defence. We have Longley. We are vulnerable. We're playing Ben Davies at left wing back. Emerson, okay, he's found some form. We are vulnerable because if you look at the Spurs team on paper and you look at the Chelsea team on paper, Chelsea have better individual players with individual quality. Mm-hmm. So we are always going to be vulnerable in those games because, yes, we have so much quality in attack, but in defence, we don't have that quality. So I think we're always going to be vulnerable. We didn't even have a manager today. So actually, I think, you know, we did a good job. But at the end of the day, it's at this point in the season, it's about getting 3 points. I don't care how we win. As long as you pick up three points, that's the job done.
Yeah, let's talk about the red card that was revoked, where Ziyech, I think he intended to push him and ended up slapping him. Yeah. Do we think that was a fair decision?
Yeah.
I think it was,
Send him off.
I was happy. Yeah, all the Chelsea players that I wanted to stay on the pitch, it would have been Ziyech. So.
But do we understand why the VAR said it was a red to begin with?
I don't know what went on. Apparently,
what happened was the ref went to speak to the linesman. The linesman said that he saw like a hit or a punch in the face. And then the VAR said it was Ziyech. So then he went to red card him. The VAR said to him in the earpiece, I think that you got that wrong. You need to go look at the monitor. And so he looks at the monitor, and basically, as you've all seen, or for people who haven't seen it, he goes to push him in his shoulder, clips his shoulder, but then reaches his face accidentally. But Ziyech, why are you even doing that? Like, just go. Like, first of all, you're literally a twig. You are a twig, and like, just don't get involved. Like, you're not that guy.
Yeah, he actually isn't that guy. I don't know why he did that.
I just think he's frustrated. He doesn't want to be there. He should be in Paris. Look at that. I think PSG are beating Marseille at the moment. That's where he should be. He should be on the pitch in his derby.
If he's not in Paris, he should definitely not be starting for Chelsea.
I don't think any player that was literally on the brink of leaving should then play because your head's not there mentally. You've really gone to a different place. You probably don't even care what the club you're at.
But technically, Ziyech is still a good player. So
no, he's a good player. His head hasn't been in it for a long time.
Exactly.
So who should have played over him?
Well, you had, is it Madueke? I think he should have started ahead of him. And I also think Modric. I think that, I don't understand, Aubameyang...
He came on.
You said that you don't want. You said that he was not in the Champions League squad. So for me, that signals that he's not part of the future.
Yeah,
of the
but
club.
His words were, he's not in the Champions League squad, but he's still an important player in the squad. This is why he's just not lying.
He hasn't even been part of the squad for the last couple of games. So how are you bringing him back in and trying to put him on a pitch, expecting him to do something for you? This is what I'm saying. Like. Potter's mentality, like he's desperate. He has never made.
The squad is too big for him. It's way too big for him.
He's never made a substitution that has actually made a positive difference. How are you bringing on Mount and Zachariah to get you a goal? Are you insane? You have all of this talent on the bench, and these are two players that you've picked and thought, yeah, they're going to really do something for me today.
Yeah, I guess they're put them.
It's like, where's the sense?
He's under so much pressure. Do you get it?
I don't know. I think
he's trying to keep everybody happy. So and that's it just feels like it's not consistent. It's weird because you mentioned Sarri, and like he always used to make the same subs. It was like Barkley for whoever it was. He would make the same subs every single game, and I think Potter's trying to keep people happy, bringing them into the squad. But equally, how do you expect all of those new players to learn how to play when they're playing with different people?
He needs
every time
to focus on the task at hand. Mm. And keeping the players happy is not, like, keeping players happy that are not going to be at a club is not the task at hand. And you, it, like, I
know, but he can't.
That's why he's not a top class manager.
Because low key, like, if there's no harmony in the dressing room and players are not happy, that affects. That makes it makes things worse.
Exactly.
He's got so many.
Ronaldo at United.
No, these are excuses, man. A top manager makes it work. A top class manager makes that work.
He's literally, this is work experience, essentially.
Go back to
Prime. I think he skipped a club, like there should have been a club
in the middle.
Before Chelsea. Yeah.
See, the thing is, he turned, when we sacked Mourinho, he turned down the offer from Spurs. We wanted him because we're a project club and he's a project manager.
It would have been a good
stepping stone to come to a bigger club where the expectations are for you to win, trophies every season.
Yeah, I'm not there.
Yeah, and he's made the jump is too big.
It's a proper mismatch because Chelsea are just, they want immediate success. Like, they're so used to it.
I think Chelsea fans right now are very ready for a project. They are.
No, they're not.
Listen to me. They are ready for a project with the right manager.
Okay.
And that manager was Thomas Tuchel. If Thomas Tuchel was given the same circumstances, I'm talking about for January as well, I think the reaction would have been different. But Potter's not the guy. He's not the right guy to take on the projects that Chelsea need him to take on.
But Tuchel would have been given the time by the Chelsea fans because he's already won the Champions League.
Yeah.
He's already had immediate success.
Even someone of his quality.
I think Lauren's right in saying that because if you hadn't won anything that first season and then the second season went the way it did, it wouldn't have been positive.
Someone who's Chelsea's quality. Chelsea fans, I'm telling you now, are ready for the project, but they're not ready for a project with someone who's on work experience. That's not the thing.
So, what managers out there do you think can give you that? What you're looking for?
Okay, I personally think, right, you get rid of Tuchel. This is not going to be popular, and I'm not capping. I'm very serious. You get rid of Tuchel. I would have Emma Hayes as interim until the end of the season.
Sorry, wait. What?
I would have Emma Hayes as interim.
What Chelsea women are supposed to do?
No,
but Emma Hayes has missed part of the season and they're still winning.
She can't manage two teams.
She doesn't need to manage two teams.
She's saying
they should get a new manager.
Forget the Champions League, girl, forget the WSL, forget the FA Cup.
To be honest, Chelsea women basically won the WSL, I think.
So you think Emma Hayes can come in?
And the reason why I say Emma Hayes, and I think I'm probably going to get cooked, but the reason why I say Emma Hayes is that Emma Hayes understands. I've seen videos. I've seen how she talks.
She has an analytical
brain. She understands what it means to be at a club like Chelsea. She understands the mentality that is needed. And I can't see anyone else, like an interim manager, that's going to come in and do that thing for the end of the season. And then you give yourself time to go try and get yourself a Hansi Flick or Zidane or Enrique or Pochettino, or you kind of fill them out.
Poch is not your level.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
Potter is not our level. And Poch is already seen, he's already seen that project at Tottenham, but with better players.
I also would say on Poch, he would have learned from the experience at PSG because PSG was too big of a jump for him, and he went through at PSG. Mm-hmm. Potter is going.
But I feel like that same experience he had at PSG, he could almost replicate at Chelsea because the expectations at Chelsea are really high.
Fall in love with the team again. He will.
No, I don't agree with that.
Thomas Tuchel wasn't coming back. Because that would obviously, I would love him for him to come back, but he's not coming back. So realistically, you need to go for what else is out there on the market. Hansi Flick, I think he probably wants to do the Euro. Enrique, is he the right fit? Potentially, but I don't know if he speaks English. Pochettino knows the league. He understands the league. He can develop young players.
And he also, in my opinion...
Chelsea, he's waiting for Conte to leave. He wants to come back to Spurs. He's not going to Chelsea.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I think Spurs is a good fit for him.
Do you think the guy's still unemployed? He's waiting to come back to Spurs.
I saw he was interested in West Ham.
Yeah.
He's not going to drop his standards. So, Chelsea is a step up, but I think he's waiting for the Spurs job.
So, yeah.
So out of those managers that you mentioned, who would be like your top pick?
I'll go for Poch.
That's really surprising. I'm actually quite surprised.
We're in the mud. How are you saying that is surprising?
I'll never speak
because like I remember when United fans I remember when United fans were calling for Poch, I was on the same podcast saying, hell no, let's not do that. It's not gonna work. It's just not gonna work. And then he went PSG and that happened. And I was like, you guys see, like it's too much pressure. Like he was really good at Spurs, but at Chelsea, I just can't see it.
He would do a better job than Potter, and that's what I'll take right now.
Yeah, he will. Yeah, because it's really not hard to beat.
But yeah, exactly. But that's what I'm basing it on. Who's going to come in and do a better job?
What about Zidane?
Zidane doesn't what he wants the France job.
Yeah, but Deschamps extended, so unless he wants to be unemployed for the next
for a really long time, yeah,
he may as well take a job.
Honestly, I think he only takes Juventus, but they're in the mud, or the France job. I don't think apparently he doesn't have any interest. He doesn't speak English, first of all. And I don't think he has any interest in coming to the Premier League. Otherwise, I would consider him, but I don't know whether Chelsea would be the right fit for him. I can see him at like Manchester United, not necessarily at Chelsea. Unless Klopp gets sacked, then,
Ella already told us the other episode, I think it was like a month ago, she said everyone goes before Klopp goes.
Honestly.
Anfield as well, I don't care. I was standing in the park and watched, I don't care.
On that note, let's move on to Liverpool. That Crystal Palace game yesterday, how did it go?
You know what? When I looked at the lineup, I just thought, first, no Nunes. And this season without Nunes is always a drag.
Yeah, what happened to him? I had him in my FPL and I was really disappointed.
You told me to captain him, Ella.
She told me to captain Nunes.
I saw the team sheet, I said, where is he?
I didn't realise he was actually playing with injections against Real Madrid. And he's still the one that put the most effort in and ran.
Why didn't he get more injections?
I don't know, but I think he really hurt because he went off. So I think he made it much worse or something. So I don't know. So yeah, every game that Nunes hasn't played, we've always looked very blunt up top. And again, this was the problem in the game. We started well-ish, and that's compared to our standards. Like because we've been conceding in the first 10 minutes in a lot of away games, and it's just put us on the back foot. So we started well till about the 15th minute, and then Trent made that mistake where he passed back. And from there, you could just see the confidence of the team just went down. It's long because, I mean, we started with a midfield of Milner, Henderson and Keita, and you're just thinking...
2023.
Yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, what kills me, I watched the pundits, they kept going, oh, this is a really good midfield for Liverpool to start with, oh, because it's got experience, after they got battered by Real Madrid, it's about having the right, you know, personalities, so that you have a midfield that's not going to run, it's not going to do anything. I don't really understand why the whole narrative around the game, if I was, what's his name, Bajetic or the young one, I don't understand why he didn't play again.
You know what? He shouldn't.
With his energy.
Against Real Madrid, he didn't have a great game. And in my opinion, he should have been brought off to be protected.
But most people don't have good games.
I know, but he was really struggling. And he's a young kid and you're thinking, just bring Keita on. Someone with a bit more experience in these games. So I wasn't surprised that Klopp just rested him because he's been playing like every single game and he's still 18 years old. And you're thinking,
at what point did you think he should have come on in a Real Madrid game when he was 2-0 up or when he was
what do you mean, by Bajetta to come off?
Yeah.
I thought he should have come off at half time. So
was
when
that
it was
2-2?
2-2. Oh, 2-2.
Anyway, we're not talking about Real Madrid.
Yeah. Just,
so I wasn't surprised he didn't start. But then you're looking at Milner, Hendo and Casey, you're just thinking, is this our squad?
But Hayton was lucky to be on the pitch.
But at the end of the day, who put them there? Who put them there? Klopp.
This the problem is our squad depth is just so bad. And yeah, Klopp put them on the pitch, but you're thinking who else can play? And this goes back to the summer where we should have got a midfielder. And what's so annoying about this season is Liverpool have been neither proactive or reactive. We could have sorted this problem out in January. We had a whole World Cup break to think, okay, we started badly. We clearly need a midfielder. And they come out with nothing. And you're surprised. I'm not surprised.
I mean, Klopp said that he didn't need a midfielder.
He says stuff like that all the time.
He bought that one on loan that got injured.
Oh, yeah.
Is he still there?
He's currently playing for the under 21s because he's trying to build his
fitness. Oh, he's trying to build minutes. Oh, okay.
So because he's been out for 4 months. But it's just like Klopp says weird things. Like, we don't really know the truth. We don't know if it's Klopp's stubbornness. I don't think he can be that stubborn that he's just silly and thinks, nah, we don't need a midfielder, because you can clearly see we do. I think it's more FSG.
He's essentially backing their decisions by saying these things, which isn't a good look.
It's frustrating, but I'm thinking, what's the benefit of him going against the owners going to do?
Sometimes you've got to put your foot down, otherwise you're just not going to get what you need.
But you know what? He said this, 2 or 3 years ago, remember that season when we had, no centre-backs?
I remember.
He said, it will be nice, and he never says this, never says anything. He said, it will be nice if we got a centre-back. And they waited till Matip broke down, and the last day to get Kabak and Ben Davies, who never saw a minute.
Guy that come from like Swansea or
never played. He never played a minute. And you can see Klopp was not happy with those two, because we ended up with Phillips and Reece Williams at the end of the season. And it's
if you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Just like, I don't know how much more Klopp can go against the owners without it being a bit of a tough situation. In my opinion, this is the most key transfer window under FSG, because they're not selling the club. They're committed, as they said, but it's a massive rebuild job, massive.
Personally, if I was Klopp, right, I'll put my foot down, give me what I need, or I'm walking. That's just it. I would walk. Because how long can this go on for?
Hopefully a little while longer. You need to be in the mud with us. You can't see that.
We're definitely...
No, they're creeping up the table. You're still 10th.
Because I think Klopp has done so much for Liverpool. So surely if he put his foot down, it wouldn't be the worst thing ever. He's so respected.
The fans will back him. He's just not that kind of guy. He's just a nice guy. And I'm just like...
He's a nice guy.
No. When it comes...
He's shining those nice
teeth. I don't think Klopp's a nice guy. I think he's a horrible loser.
I think I'm a bit surprised he's not done a lot more and spoken up a lot more, because when he's ready to complain,
not
complain for days.
Oh, the grass is too long.
He's, you know what I mean? So that's why I'm a little
Klopp is very protective of his little of his Liverpool.
Okay,
but he is a nice man.
I wouldn't say he's a nice man.
To you,
no, I'm being serious. Like, I've seen him post matches,
because
and the way he speaks to reporters is disgusting.
Oh, I don't appreciate.
I actually don't like Klopp.
That's fair. But as I said, it's because people are coming for his little Liverpool, his players, because he's very protective of them. And I agree, he can be snappy sometimes.
I think he's quite emotional sometimes.
He's just very emotional.
Yeah, I think he's quite emotional.
I think that's what sparks the.
But he should use that emotion and channel it to challenge FSG.
We will back him, like, as I said, it's very difficult to see, is it Klopp not wanting players, or is it FSG not giving him the funds?
I'm sure
no
he wants players.
Would ever not want players.
Yeah.
This is the thing, because I know it's FSG, but Klopp again is saying all these things, oh, you know, you can't get another players.
But if he keeps saying like, these things, then backing said. Them yeah, in the yeah, public.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he needs to stop lying.
Right, stop lying.
So, yeah, it's a tough one, but we just have to ride this season out. And
do you still have hope with the way things are going? Because out of the last three games, you've been better, shall we say?
You know what?
The Premier League.
In the Premier League.
We're not going to talk about that game.
Just to clarify.
Same.
Because in terms of top four, we're not a million miles behind. We've got
5 points.
So we're 2 games behind Tottenham with 9 points, and we're 9 points behind. So 2 games in hand, 9 points behind. So we're not a million miles away. But
you have 2 games in hand?
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't sound that bad.
It's not that bad, which kind of just shows the levels of the league this season from like 5th to, I don't know, 15th. It's just...
Not 15th. Don't keep it.
I suppose a 5th, by the way, not 5th.
So it's not... We're not a million miles away, but I don't know. The main problem with Liverpool has been giving so many chances away, and with our high risk football and us not performing it to the way we can, we become one of the easiest teams to play against.
I mean, you should have lost yesterday to Palace. If Palace had any ounce of clinicalness about them, and they
I don't think
zero,
they had any shots on target.
Like, yeah, they got into good positions and good chances, and a better team. I mean,
but that's Palace
would have punished Liverpool head to conceding 5 goals at Anfield midweek.
I feel like we were unlucky.
No, but it's true. Palace, if Palace actually had some good decision makers, like if Schluck was making good decisions, if Mateta was making good decisions, they would have beaten you yesterday.
But I feel like that's the same with us, because we got into good positions. I mean, Henderson blocked Trent, guaranteed free kick going into the top corner. It's just like,
yeah, what was that about?
Yeah, so
why are you in the way?
It's just like that kind of just sums up us up. We're just very shaky and very, I don't know, we're just not on it at the moment. And as I said, with Nunes being out, whenever he doesn't play, we're just flat up front. It's just like Jota played yesterday, but he hasn't seen minutes properly in months because he got injured in November against City. So it's like,
is Diaz back yet?
No.
Diaz is going to make a difference.
Yeah, but I also think Liverpool are one Alisson injury away from tumbling back down the table, because
he stops you
guys conceding as many goals
as
Kelleher
is very good.
To be fair, I think he's quite good.
He's good and he's got a good penalty record. But still.
No.
If Alisson was injured, then
they'll be okay.
It
won't make a difference.
Kelleher is good, but I think it's going to make a big difference.
Played against Chelsea and we beat you. In the cup final.
You didn't beat us, you beat us on penalties.
That's
me.
Still
beating
you.
No,
that's
still
me
to the trophy hole.
Technically, that was a draw. And then you beat
Kelleher scored his penalty and Kepa didn't. So that's what I'm saying. We still won. And he still performed well.
Hopefully, he can perform in the Europa League next season.
Well, you never know. We can still make Champions League.
When was the last time Liverpool were in the Europa League?
Klopp's first season.
Thursday? I don't know why.
So
it's
when you're
really finished.
That might be Liverpool's fate.
Oh, Arsenal back there soon too.
You know what? Whether we make top four, wherever we finish, we just need massive investment. And you know what? If we don't make top four, FSU will use that, I think, as an excuse not to spend. And
They always, even when you won the league, they didn't spend. So this is, at this point,
is the thing, because journalists come out and say, they say, oh, Liverpool's transfer budget will be not completely if we don't make Champions League, but we're spending like 30 million. And it's like, we've spent hardly anything, whether we've been in the Champions League or not. So
I thought it was the Coutinho money was still coming through.
The Coutinho money left ages ago, which is why we're not spending any money. But
do you think finishing fifth or below will have an impact on the targets that you have, i.e. the likes of Bellingham?
No.
Bellingham apparently has already agreed personal terms.
I think Bellingham just wants a project. And I think he'd be willing to come to Liverpool. I just don't know if we'd be able to afford him.
He should come United.
And they're saying he's been being valued at 150.
That's the thing. I've never seen FSG
spend this type of money
without selling. Like, I don't even know.
That's Chelsea's fault though. It's because of Enzo. If Chelsea didn't buy Enzo for that much money, I think it's
also because of Grealish. Because in economies of scale of English players, if Grealish is at 100 as well, let alone Enzo, then Bellingham is 150.
And it's not just Jude. Yeah. We need about four or five players here. Like, we need a whole new midfield. I'm not even joking, a whole midfield.
What about Fabinho?
I'm not sure.
He looks like he's aged about 10 years in the summer.
I wouldn't sell him. I wouldn't sell him. But his legs are gone. And it's difficult to say, because this season, it's very difficult to say whether he's done or whether it's just
form. But you guys are linked with Mount.
Yeah. Apparently we want Mount.
No offence, but he's better than what they have currently.
I think
it'd be interesting to see whether you can get both Mount and Bellingham.
Yeah.
So I don't think Mount was going to, even though he's got 1 year left, I think he's going to be cheap. I do not think he's going to be cheap.
No, he's going to be minimum 50.
Yeah, 50 would be a good price.
I don't know where all this money is coming from, honestly.
You're going to get investment though, between obviously they've come out, so they're not selling, but in terms of the investment and the injection of cash ahead of the summer. Is that looking likely or?
I don't know. John Henry said they're looking, but I don't believe a word this man says. I'm sorry. He said, you know, we're going to spend after. I think it was after we won the Champions League. He said, well, we're going to invest in the squad. He just bought Harvey Elliott and Adrian. It was just like, I don't believe a word this guy says.
Is Adrian still there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Adrian is still there. There's a lot to be done with the squad. A lot. It'll be interesting to see what happens, but yeah, it's a big job. And centre back as well.
Everyone said the you know, when Van Dijk came back, the Liverpool would start defending, but
it's not even an individual, it's just a team thing, because Van Dijk I thought had a decent performance yesterday, but it's like whoever plays next to him, Gomez, Matip, it's like,
do you think he had a decent performance against Real Madrid?
Who, Van Dijk? It's okay. He wasn't the worst.
Okay, in the defense, that shit five.
Yeah, but I put that more to Gomez than I do to Van Dijk. It was the whole team. It was the midfield. It was, anyway, we're not talking about Real Madrid.
No, no. Can we just, like, you know, the reverse fixture's coming up in about 2 weeks. Like, do you think...
What, for Madrid?
Yeah.
Oh, we might as well not go.
Whoa. You're going to have to go. Do you think you're going to lose?
You have to get the play. You can't forfeit the fixture.
We have to play, but we're not going to. I know it's a pointless game.
So there's literally nothing for Liverpool fans to look forward to this season. Mm. Getting knocked out, Champions League, the league, you're struggling to even make sixth place. Like,
you don't think they can roll back? What was it? Was it 2019? Was it against Barca? I'm chatting around.
You think Real Madrid are going to concede four at the Bernabeu? No response.
It's not even that. It's the way we performed at Anfield and how.
But you weren't bad at Anfield. Initially.
They weren't initially. It was the mentality.
Football matches are 90 minutes
long. As soon as Vinicius scored the 2-1, it was the mentality drop. And it was just like, how can we go to Madrid and try to get anything if that's the way they capitulate.
It's one of those famous Anfield nights.
European night under the lights.
It was a nightmare.
I feel like if you do not get top four this season, mm-hmm. next season it's going to be even worse because you're going to struggle to make top four again while still being in the Europa League. So you're just going to be out of the top four for the foreseeable.
That's not true.
I don't think so. As
yeah,
I said,
other
it's,
clubs will come back though. Chelsea will come back.
That's what I was
going to
say.
But that's the point. Mm-hmm. There's going
to
be other clubs better than Liverpool.
Next season, though. I think he'll survive to the summer and then they'll get rid of him.
It's just about the investment and the players. Because I believe in Klopp. Klopp's a fantastic manager. Like, as I said.
It doesn't look like it at the moment.
Yeah. It doesn't. But there's only some... I agree, there's been some very strange decisions from Klopp. Especially his in-game management being very poor. But when you look at the squad he has, it's clearly not good enough. And there's only so much you can do with the same players. I mean, you look at that lineup yesterday. How many players have been there? 5-6 years hearing the same thing over and over and over again.
Okay, but based on your current crop of players, do you think you're seventh place players?
No, seventh place team?
Exactly.
No.
So
we should be competing for top four, and numerically we're not out of it. But yeah, he is underperforming. For sure he's underperforming. Klopp's a stubborn man. He has a way that he wants to play, and that's kind of what I criticise him for. The players clearly cannot run, especially the midfield, the most important part of a Klopp team cannot run. So why are we setting up in the way where we still have to maintain that same standards? Because as I said, if we're not on it, we're the easiest team to play against. The easiest.
Yeah, that stubbornness is really beating him in the mum this season. I'm not going to lie. It's really beating him.
I think Liverpool will run it close.
What do you mean by run it close?
Oh, you think I'm not going to find four?
Yeah, no, like, obviously, before I was joking, but I think actually...
No.
I think they will run it close.
I personally disagree, because I think Tottenham have it in the bag.
I don't know.
I think they have it in the bag.
The thing is, Tottenham don't always... At Anfield as well, so that's what I'm saying.
But you're not going to win that.
Anfield's not necessarily a bogey. The two grounds where we turn up at the Etihad and Anfield, we don't turn up when we have to go to the Emirates and the Stamford Bridge. But we will turn up when we go to Anfield.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we're going to win.
We rarely lose at Anfield. As I said, I think it's like 1 in 40. Some ridiculous stat. Like, we're still decent at home. And I think as I said, the 2021 season where it didn't look like we were going to finish in the top four and we just won 6 games in a row and finished third. Yeah, Liverpool can do something like that, but it's looking very iffy. I don't know. It's hard to call, but I agree with Timo. I think we'll be there and thereabouts, but whether we make top four or not, it's tough to call.
So does that mean you think that like the likes of Fulham and
Newcastle,
yeah, they're just going to fall away? Mm-hmm. Because I actually think we have this conversation about top four, and then we're speaking about Spurs and Liverpool, and then we're forgetting the teams in between us.
Do you know
that actually it's going to require them
to drop points
to drop points.
But Newcastle are already dropping points. I think they drew like 4 of the last 5 and then we beat them. So they're dropping points, which is why we're even in the conversation. Because we shouldn't be in the conversation this season. We just haven't been good enough. But we still find ourselves 9 points behind you with 2 games in hand. And it's like, we still have something to go for. And I think playing, not being in Europe, because it would take more than a miracle to turn it around against Real Madrid. Playing once a week, Yeah,
to be fair, I think the same with Spurs. If we drop out the Champions League, that will help us.
So
I can't say the same for Chelsea.
All right, let's move on to United. Mariam, you were live and direct at Wembley. How was that game?
I just want to say, first of all, Ten Hag is the truth.
Hey.
So much Ten Hag. Whatever I thought it was going to be, I think it was that. So I was so worried before in that. I thought,
A lot of United fans were worried. What was that about?
I wasn't pessimistic. Like, I wasn't pessimistic as some, but I was worried in that. I know that this season we haven't beaten Newcastle. I think a few of the top six teams haven't beaten Newcastle. So I just thought, they don't concede that much as well. So I thought,
But Karius was in the goal.
Yeah, but look, we only scored two anyway in the end. Do you know what I mean? But even that didn't fill me with confidence. And I just think maybe it was PTSD kicking in a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was PTSD from previous seasons. We've lost finals before.
Yeah, exactly. So I think in the first half, especially the first 10 minutes, I think we were quite bad. Yeah. And then
the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, first we were pretty bad. And then I think the Lotto yellow card didn't help either. And I was really worried about that because it's like he loves to pick up a yellow card in big games really big games. And sometimes that throws off the rest of the team. But, I mean, we managed to kind of ride the storm. And I just thought one thing's for sure, that some of the players are really tired. Like, this is not me making any excuses. But they're tired. I'm looking at them. Like, even when it got to, like, you know, the second half, and I'm thinking, okay, can we not push for that third goal? I just wanted vibes, man. I just wanted to shout. And I'm like, where's this third goal coming from? But it was
there
like,
were so many counter-attacks, but they were just lackluster.
Yeah, they were lackluster. Yeah. I didn't end as anything, but I think Newcastle were more. I think they played pretty well, especially in the first half. They were more composed than us. I think they're more organised. That midfield was very. Our midfield was very shaky in the first half. It was really scary, and I think they did really well. I think they can, you know, be proud. But you know, talents will always prevail. And so once the first goal went by Casemiro, and I just thought, okay, yeah, that gave me hope. And then the second one, and I thought, okay. Yeah, like
can relax.
I can relax a bit. We're nearly there. So when it was half time, I think I was pretty chilled. And even second half, I don't know. You could even say maybe we were arguably a little bit worse than the first half. But again, I think
Newcastle came out so much more in the second half.
Yeah, they did. They did. But actually, you know what? We've got the two goal cushion. I think we've got the two goal cushion. So this should help us. But overall, I don't think we're amazing, but we did the job. We really need. It's been 5.5 years. It feels good to win something again, and I just feel like this is so good for like the rest of our season. Beating Barca in the same week that we win the Carabao Cup, I think it's massive momentum wise.
I saw a lot of United fans having doubts that they would win those two games.
I was like, wow. I was like, surely it's too good to be true. Like, I've got to pick one. I said, I have to pick one. I'll pick the Carabao Cup final. I just can't. But I'm so happy that they've won both. And I think, the momentum is going to be, I think it should give us a lot of momentum going forward. I'm really happy for Ten Hag as well. I think he deserves that. He's done an amazing job in just 6 months, especially considering the way our season started. I had no hope. I wasn't thinking about, oh, we're going to be in a final in February. Not at all. So credit to him because he's really helped to turn this team around. And I just think, even for the players, I think silverware's addictive. Like, now you've got one. Even at the end of the game, I was like, I want another trophy. People will say, oh, you know, they've taken, I think the haters will hate, you know, we've got the raging haters, and you know, they're already taking the mick out of the Carabao Cup, but it's something, like, do you know what I mean? It's something moving forward. And I think, we've got so many winners in the team as well. They're so extended and really experienced players as well. So I think,
you know what I found particularly shameless?
Yeah.
When Harry Maguire came on.
Oh my gosh.
And then why did he make the decision that he wanted to hold the trophy with Bruno? He hasn't captained the team. He hasn't led the team anywhere.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure about that, but I thought, you know, whatever. Like, at least when it got to it, they both
come captain. But let's be realistic. John Terry
put on his full kit, including socks, to lift.
He wasn't the only
that trophy.
But can I just say something about your manager? I think he's amazing, and I think that is the reason why I don't think, not to go back to Chelsea, but I think Chelsea's blueprint should be Manchester United and not Arsenal. Because I think as club-wise, we're more similar to you guys in terms of the money, in terms of expectations. But I think he's done an amazing job. And especially particularly last season where people were saying that this squad was trash.
Yeah, but so I don't think the squad was ever trash, though.
A lot of Manchester United fans thought this squad.
We thought a lot of individual players were trash.
And he's taken them and he's made them into a team that no one wants to face.
He's done an incredible job.
To be fair, we also did get reinforcements such as Casemiro.
Casemiro needs to stop selling the Varane. Casemiro, where would you keep them?
But I think the majority of that squad is still the squad that Ole had. Yeah. And actually, like, there are definitely players there that he's made way better.
That's true. But also, at the same time, some of these players did perform well under Ole for a period, i.e. Delow. There's periods that he played well. Luke Shaw, periods where he played well. So it was like, it was just up and down. It wasn't like...
But I think last season, I remember like Manchester United fans were to get rid of that half the squad.
Yeah, we were fed up with the whole... We were just fed up with everything.
Yeah, everyone was really fed up. And when it gets to the point where you don't even think the players are trying, I think it was that point where it was just like, okay, get rid of everyone. Like, I've had enough kind of thing. But
yeah.
I don't think truly they'd want everyone to
the foundation of the squad is there, which I think the fact that he's been able to, because he's just implemented a, you know, like a tactical system and way of playing and ideas to players where the foundation of the squad was there.
Yeah.
But he's done a phenomenal job to take. You know, we all, it's not that long ago, we were sat here laughing when United got slapped 4-0 by Brentford.
Yeah, you look laughing hard.
And obviously, no, you've won a trophy. And you look and think, that United squad under Ten Hag is just going to kick on. Like, they are back. I know, Timo, you always joke about it.
No,
but
United are back.
Okay,
but I
think,
but I also think, like, why I'm so impressed is that he had someone like Ronaldo there and he was willing to be like, look, you're gone.
That's when he got all my respect, by the way. Those are the type of people I like. Like, you need to, like, forget about big player, all of this stuff. Yeah. If you believe that that person's not adding to the team, drop them. And he had the balls to do it.
But even Harry Maguire, he's...
Right?
Because last season, it was a power struggle between the two of them. And he's basically like, you both can go. Because neither of you are good enough.
Exactly.
And I respect it a lot.
And
I really
think that's been a massive part of our turnaround, knowing he had to drop certain players. Like, deep, our centre-back partnership was Maguire and Lindelof.
Yeah.
And the difference between them and Varane and Martinez is like night and day.
Also, he had all the pundits criticising him.
Yes,
and he didn't care what anyone said.
And he didn't shake. I think he's going to do a great job at United. Long may it continue. We just need investment. But
do you think he's been the best manager post-Fergie era?
100%. Yeah. I think in terms of his ideas, tactically, what we look like, and our style of play, I think it's quite clear.
But did Mourinho?
What was Mourinho's?
Didn't you finish second with you guys?
And he did that advert.
No.
He won the Europa League as well. That was the United's last trophy was Mourinho's.
Yeah, Europa League and the Carabao Cup as well.
I'm finished second.
But that's the only person we would compare ETH to. But I think ETH is a better manager.
Yeah, I think he's a better coach. Yeah, I don't think Mourinho.
It's okay. Mourinho replying to all those trophies that he's won in his career.
I think Mourinho, as we saw, Mourinho always wants players that are already, you know, ready made.
I mean, I will never forget that Mourinho, what he said about Rashford. So how can he be the best?
What did he say?
He basically said Rashford's not that guy.
I thought he said he's not centre forward. I thought that was the comment. And to be fair, in you making the comment that, oh, Mourinho always wanted ready-made players, Ten Hag got Casemiro in the summer, and look at the difference in the team. That's a ready-made player.
Yeah, but so, I still think, look at what he did at Ajax as well. I just still think, even with young players, I still think he'd be able to see it through as Mourinho. I just don't. Anyway, I didn't think his man management was great either. There was a lot of things I didn't like about his talent.
Oh, so are we saying that Mourinho didn't have the patience to develop talent anyway? Young talent, right? Whereas Ten Hag has...
I feel like Ten Hag is...
I think we should call it out that United of this season, it's even the difference they have in Varane in defence. He was bought as a ready-made winner with how many Champions Leagues? So this,
you still have to buy ready-made players to make your team.
You need a few in the team, especially those that experience, those that are winners. Like, we've got winners in this team. You can see it. Like, even the way Casemiro would gas up the crowd today, like, that's a winner. Like, you know what I mean? Same with Varane. But I still think that, like, we can give them, you know, we can acknowledge the fact that we have ready-made players, but I still think Ten Hag will still do a good job, even if we wouldn't be where we are now. I think even if we didn't have Casemiro and we had, whoever else it would have been. Lindelof.
I think Ten Hag will go on to surpass Mourinho, but I don't think he's done it yet.
He's not done it yet.
I think there's still potential to do it. The season's not over. So if he, for example, won a second trophy, then he's leveled it out.
Do you think you guys are going to win the league?
No one's talking about the league.
Because remember, our expectation in the beginning was top four.
You're sounding awful like Manchester, like Arsenal.
Look at how we started our season, Arsenal fans had gone on a run from the beginning, from August. Even now, they're still saying, oh, we're just trying to get that out. Like, that's different. It's completely different with us. Do you know what I mean?
But you're in a conversation for a second, though. Like, you're in a conversation. I wouldn't rule it out
You're not a million miles behind.
No, no, no. We're not a million miles behind. But I'm just saying, in terms seven of like, behind. I mean, if we get there, if we happen to get in the mix, then yeah, it's
okay.
On.
What points would it take behind Arsenal where you think, okay?
Two points with no games in hand. Yes.
Two points.
Yeah.
Three title races, five, even seven. I would say it's a three race title race at the moment.
No, seven's not too far.
But the only thing
I'm we're eight points behind them currently.
I think eight is quite a bit.
Okay, if it was five.
Do you still have to play each other? Do you still have to play each other?
No, it's done.
Yeah, we play them first.
Yeah, it's done now.
But the one thing I will say is an injury to Rashford, Casemiro.
Let's stop talking about that.
Or Varane.
The world's come off.
To be fair, we had Casemiro out for three games.
Exactly. It didn't look great in those three games.
We still had results. It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying.
No, the wheels could come off. But it's the same for all of our teams in the critical.
Literally.
Yeah.
Even Arsenal. If certain players not get injured, it's the same.
you don't have wheels.
Everything has players, right? If they're removed from the team, of course the standard is going to drop dramatically. It's just one of those things. That doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, we're still doing all right.
We're not saying that. Anyway, and Mariam, what other trophy would you want United to win?
I really want the FA Cup, but I also want the Europa League.
Right, but just three of them. Let's just have three of them.
It would, I mean, it'd be incredible if we could win another two, but I don't know, if I had to pick, I don't know, you know, guys. I don't know what it is about the FA Cup that way. Do you know what it is? I think it's because everyone keeps taking a piss out of the Carabao Cup and it's jarring me because it's every day it's a baby cup or it's a Mickey Mouse cup.
It's called the milk cup. It used to be called the milk cup. Come on.
Okay, but guess what we want?
It always looks good with something else.
Yeah, exactly, which is why.
At least we paired with something. I guess even one, I can't like, even if we win just one more trophy, it's still massive. It's a massive achievement. Wasn't expecting it.
Do you have confidence against, because you said that you think the squad's tired and obviously midweek West Ham, which shout out Philippa, she's not here, but West Ham actually won a game.
I know.
But they look like maybe they've found form and obviously you've got Liverpool next week. Is it a case of maybe one has to be sacrificed?
Not that it has to be sacrificed, but players have to be rested.
Yeah, players do. Literally, at this point, I know Ten Hag doesn't really, maybe he's not a fan of like heavy rotation and stuff like that. He wants to win. Like, he's literally, he just wants to win every game. But I don't know. Next week's a hard, it's a hard week.
I'd say for really West tired. Ham, maybe rest Rashford.
Yeah.
Play.
I think Bruno's tired. Bruno today. I don't think at any point he got into the game like that. Maybe the second half a little bit on some of our counters, but he's tired as well. So.
Maybe play Elanga or something. We'll see.
I'm not sure if I'm 100% confident. I know Anfield's going to be really hard. Like, I think that's another test.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think we're going to beat them.
I really hope so.
She's supposed to be neutral, remember?
Sorry.
But if I forgot. I'm not saying I don't want us to lose anything, but if we had to pick between the two and we had to pick a result, I'd want it to be, of course, against Liverpool. But yeah, I am a little bit worried about some players being tired and how we've played basically games every three and a half days since, I think, is it December the 27th? Like, literally, that's a madness. So,
Your top team, this is what is expected. Mm-hmm. Is what it is.
Okay.
If you're in four trophies,
if you win the trophies, you have to compete.
It's true. But we've performed well in that time.
I'm just putting it out there, guys. That's all I'm saying. Just putting it out there. At the end of the day, they're humans, right? They're not robots. But I'm very pleased with today. Ten Hag, again, I love you. You changed my life. I look forward to watching now. Like, even if I had, like, this week was a little bit difficult, and I can't lie. I just want Thursday to come. I want to watch my team play, and I don't remember the last time I said that. So
it must be nice.
It is nice, actually. I just hope that it really does. I think, yeah, this week, as I said, it was vital. So I can't express how vital it was. So I hope that allows us to kick on now.
Can I just ask Lauren a question? When was the last time Tottenham won a trophy?
2008, 2-1 against Chelsea. Jonathan Woodgate got the winner.
So 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's the only one that I've won since I've been alive, so of course I remember the detail. Yeah, but that's okay. If that makes you feel better, innit, that's fine. Carry on.
That was the World Cup as well. So, I mean, Tottenham would love to win even just a medal of some sort.
And I'm sure you'd love to have your manager sacked, but why are you coming for us?
I think instead of calling cups, more cups. You have a lot more.
You've got stuff on your plate. You've got stuff to worry about.
So what now? I can't have an opinion because my team sound bad. I can't have an opinion.
No, you were doing this last season. You didn't allow the players to express themselves because we were also down bad. No, so I guess same thing.
I'm very happy for you guys. I'm very, very impressed with Manchester
United. That actually makes a change, you know, hearing Chelsea fans compliment Manchester United.
I've never come to Manchester United.
Excuse me?
I've come to it for personal, short-term memory, babes. Like Bruno Fernandes and 25 league goals, but I've never really come for Manchester United fans. Arsenal fans, yeah, 100%. I'm always going to be unashamedly against Arsenal, but Manchester United, no.
Anyone seen what Ronaldo's doing over in Saudi Arabia?
Well, he's banging goals now,
isn't he? I know.
Yeah. He's been involved in the last 10 goals. So.
Yeah, I mean, Saudi Arabia, but, you know, I'm happy for him. Anyway, on that note, we'll end it there. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Gold Diggers podcast. Please don't forget to like and subscribe, and see you next time.
Pour out.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out UnitedHealthcare insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company. They offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.